We will have a one world government. I don't think there's a whole lot you can do about it, whether you agree with it, whether you don't agree with it. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So please, if you do want to give us a call at 1-5-1-7-0-8-1-0-5-9, let's take our first caller, a man considerably outspoken on this. He's been on the show a number of times, and even has his website called lifeinthemix.co.uk. He's with us this morning, and he's known only to me as Life. Good morning, Life.
Good morning, Roy.
How are you, fella?
Hi, I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Haven't had you on causing controversy on my show for a while, pal.
I don't know, I had to go in some pennies.
Did you?
I did indeed.
Well, that's a good question. Let me put that simple question to you this morning on City Talk. One world government, is it on the way?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a 7,000-year-old agenda. It's nothing new. It's just new to the people, the populations, if you will.
Right.
And I suppose if you're looking at it from the masses' perspective, then what we are supposed to look at as the world government would be the United Nations.
Right.
But that's a falsehood in itself. I mean, we talk about one world government, but it's a layer of many differing organisations,
right,
each dictating to the one below.
Okay.
And if we look above the United Nations, what we've got a conglomerate of organisations and think tanks, and they're all surrounding the core, which we could call the inner circle, of an operation called the Round Table. And around this round table, we've got the Trilateral Commission, we've got the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Club of Rome, Bilderberg Group, the United Nations, and the Council on Foreign Relations. And so above the United Nations, which we're not supposed to know about, is another tier of what we could call government, all taking their orders from the round table. And then if we go above that, we're looking at the banking system. You've obviously got your banks and your high streets, which everybody's aware of, but then above all that, you've got an international layer of banking where you've got the IMF and you've got the World Bank. And then for all intents and purposes, if you're studying this information, it always looks like it's the Zionists controlling the banking system. Therefore, many, many people, they just believe they've found the height of it and it's the Zionists. But even that, it's a small screen. And at the top of the Zionists, we see the House of Rothschild. But again, they are not the chiefs in this game. They are mere administrators. But as long as we, the people, if we do get beyond seeing, we see above the United Nations, we're still hitting at the top. We're looking at the Zionists, full stop. Because at the end of the day, the Rothschilds control most of the big international...
Let me just get this right anyway, because I mean, I know you're very outspoken on this particular subject. And I would be the first to agree with you. But if people, who look at the political system think that the likes of George Bush and the Gordon Brown, Merkel, and people like that, Berlusconi, if they think that they are the leaders, then you're very much mistaken. Because they are, I would say, in the line of command, they're probably pretty low down, aren't they?
It is a bit different in America, because America is the military aspect to what we know as the British Empire. It always has been.
Let me ask you this before we go any further. Which country would you say is the most dominant force within the world? On the face of it, you would think it was America, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, because it's the military might. And, most people...
Is it true that they're the most dominant country in the world, then?
Well, they're being used as that, just like Britain was used. There's just something way beyond this. I mean, we've got to look at the empire in itself, then. We'll not go too into great detail, but you can trace it right back to Babylon. But if we stick to Rome, we'll stick at the point of Rome. The people that were running Rome, which towards the end of it was the emperors. The Republic had gone, basically, and it became a dictatorship under the emperors. And from that time on, you're looking at the same families who have managed to control the world. Now,
this is I've heard this many times of people turn around and say the same 13 bloodlines have run the planet since Roman times.
But then when you get into that, you're talking about you've got 13 representatives from 13 Nephilim families. But that's got a hierarchy. Now, in today's understanding of it, it does look more and more like, because whichever area you do study in relation to this, the House of Windsor now stand at the top and the peak of this. But they represent...
So what you're saying is the Queen and her family are the most powerful family on the planet?
But through aspect of what we would call the inner circle, yes. Because they control the world's food. They control...
Our royal family does.
The House of Windsor controls the global food. It controls Britain, America, Canada...
How does it do that?
Sorry?
How does it do that?
Well, in the initial state of any invasion of any other country, it's a military invasion, which history shows you that pattern. You can see that as the blueprint in history. That changed when kings and such things were not as successful anymore, based on the fact that people had woke up to the fact that they were just in it for their own. And they moved. He shed his skin. You've got to look at the empire as a serpent. He sheds his skin. And as long as the people believe it's it's disappeared, what they don't realise is what's reappeared or come in its place is the same. It's just showing a different skin.
So what you're saying is we still have a British Empire, but it's just a little bit more hidden than it used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can go beyond, we can go one back from that and say that this is the Roman Empire. And we can actually say that Britain is just the chief executive office of what we know as the Roman Empire. So it's still the Roman Empire. The British Empire is a part of it, and what is perceived to be an American Empire is also playing into the very same empire.
So effectively what you're saying then, if we take out of the equation that we have, you know, your Republicans that are running America at the moment, the Labour Party's running this country, that you effectively already have a one, if you like, the top of the pyramid that's running the world anyway.
Yeah.
So the only difference between a one world government that we've got at the moment is that the one that's running the world is not an elected one.
Oh, absolutely not. It's not elected. I mean, in most cases, it's not even known. You can put it to a point. We can call them the Black Wealth. These are a bunch of people that the Roman bloodlines bred into, when they bred into the Saxons and the Germanic tribes, and they created sort of like a much more warrior caste, and these were the Black Wealth. Now these Black Wealth were for Rome and the Pope, but of course in Germany we still had the Saxons who were still against the Romanization of Europe, but because they bred into them and created these Black Wealth, they also bred in to the Saxons unbeknown again. Now the Black Wealth won this war between the Germanic tribes for Rome, and they were given sort of like the chief executiveship of the empire then by Rome. So Rome was still sort of the seat, if you will, but it had been sort of like, you could say, what's that word I'm looking for? It sold out to somebody else to carry it on. Like people use mercenaries.
Right. Okay.
Pass it on to another family.
Well, let's not get too bogged down in that situation. Let me kind of jump a huge bit in, if you like. In the subject, I'm talking about world of one government. Wouldn't there be a huge advantage in having one world government?
I would say absolutely, if we were made up of a world of one culture, one idea, you know, one sort of comfortable, happy medium that everybody could live by. That's certainly not the case. I mean, we're a world full of different cultures.
Right.
The system that's being implemented is not being offered, it's being forced. And if you're trying to force together such a great diversity of cultures, ideas, and histories, and with those histories come old scores, enemies. I mean, so many of us are divided by real blood hate that's gone on in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just... You'd have to solve those problems, those issues,
right,
before you could even consider a world government. Now, you could create a system whereby it has a blanket code at the top, i.e. this is what we're aiming for, and each country can try and get there on its own bat. But then you've still got the idea, well, how do you stop these rogue nations? Well, the thing is, There's no such thing as rogue nations, really. They've been created. And they've been created by the same people we're talking about who are besieging Europe. The Opium Wars is where they got into China and India. They created Pakistan, which created the conflict between Pakistan and India for Kashmir. They created, British Crown created Pakistan in its control of Pakistan, right up to this day. There's no difference. What's going on out there is a designed plan. But, you know, it's more a case of, it's the ultimate end of this that's really important, because they're really trying to bring us together as a world so we could live with some kind of cohesion where we weren't basically killing each other. They could do that, but that's not what they want.
Right.
What they want is to create a situation whereby they control the whole world, and then they want to cull the populations of that world to satisfy their idea of what they believe is a good, you know, a balanced amount of people. Now, unfortunately for us, we've built or rebuilt the technology. Now, that takes you back beyond the deluge to the Atlantis, but basically, if you look at this 7,000 years, they've been trying to recreate what we had pre-deluge, basically, and they've used man to build it.
When you say pre-deluge, is this what people refer to as the flooding of the planet with Noah?
They do. I can't see it as being a flood. There isn't enough water on the Earth to create a flood.
Mm.
It would have to be some kind of great tidal wave. And, you know, there's evidence to point to that possibility. If you look at Australia, there's great big enormous boulders in the middle of the desert in the centre of Australia that have come from nowhere. And when you look at sort of evidence like that, you can sort of like to see, well, that's the sort of thing, some kind of great wave that went over so many.
I agree with that, because, I mean, this is the one. I'll be honest with you, I know we're just sidetracking, but it is relevant in some way, shape or form, and that's why we're talking about it on City Talk this morning. I used to be very sceptical of the Bible. In fact, I kind of completely dissed it. And now I've kind of looked at it with a different way. And I'm not, I don't mean because, like, I've found God or anything like that.
I've
tried to look at it from a logical possibility.
Yeah.
Whereas, on the face of it, a bloke in a boat taking two animals on board because the entire planet is wanting some belief.
Yeah.
However, if you had, if you were to go back, say for the sake of argument, we never had the communication we've got now, and we look at the tsunami.
Yeah.
If a bloke just happened, just before the tsunami, just happened to have his boat with a few of his farmyard animals on board it, the tsunami came in and he managed to sail on it, people would think that guy must have had a vision, or you could misinterpret it. You can add bits over the years. So you're going about, so let's just, the reason for you mentioning that is before this event happened,
yes,
you're saying that the world was pretty controlled, much one government then anyway.
Yes, Atlantis run the world after it had defeated Lemuria, which was the Pacific version of Atlantis, which is the origin of the Japanese and Chinese races. That's why we're so different.
Right.
The Atlanteans were you could call Caucasian. And you see, I mean, if you want a representation of the Atlanteans today, you're looking at the Native Americans. Not all the tribes, but one or two of the especially the Algonquin northern.
See, I run as amazed because there was me in my ignorance, I'll admit to here, thinking that the Atlantis was something that was out of a novel.
Well, it's not. I mean, Plato's work covers it quite well. It was more of a system as well. We think of Atlantis as some enormous sort of continent. When we were talking about a citadel like Rome was in its time.
And this means that Atlanteans governed the entire world.
Yeah, when you're looking at all the monuments around the world, that's what they created around the world when they had their height of power.
Okay.
And each specific country had its own astrological or constellations had its representation in one of these old temples. I mean, Northern Ireland, it's the head of Draco. So you understand why there's quite a lot of trouble going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Angkor Wat. All these different monuments, they were sort of, you know how we build skyscrapers today? They seem to build on all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in their time, they built these monuments because they were, you know, their knowledge of that, of their age, was totally different to the knowledge that we use today, basically. They took it out of the mix. So,
So if you had this seat of power, the Atlanteans and stuff like that, who for one, you know, for all intents and purposes, had got this one world government system in place, where did it break down and why did it become so fractured?
Well, What I can say now, when you study it, they're talking about they were using specific certain energies and they were making a mess of everything and it flipped the earth. Now, I've got into something called HAARP in this last year.
Right, I've heard about it.
For a long time, but I thought it were disinformation. I've got to be honest, I didn't expect them to be that intelligent. Now, when you understand the HAARP and what it's doing, well, basically, what we're seeing in HAARP is what these old ancient stories are talking about. Weapons that are manipulating the atmosphere, ionosphere, and the frequencies. And so we're talking, same with the mobile phones. They're messing about with microwaves. And if you go on some of the stories from Atlantis, I mean, I don't claim to be a great expert on Atlantis, don't get me wrong, but I have studied it in, you know, quite a depth over the years. But they're talking about, this is what they did. They created these weapons and released them, and it made the, it changed everything on the Earth, the magnetic field. And what we're saying is the Earth sort of flipped, which would create your tidal wave, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, no, I've heard that.
Now, if you study some of the Maya information and some of the Hopi Indian stuff, and the African tribes, they're talking about this knowledge as normal stuff. You know, this is their normal everyday stuff. This is what their history has brought to them. So it's not as extreme as one might think.
Okay.
If you've studied these cultures.
We've got to just come back so people understand what you're talking about when you mention HAARP. Tell us what HAARP is.
HAARP is it's a means of manipulating microwave energies to the point that they can focus it sort of like a laser.
Yeah.
And the
and we know this exists because, I mean, you can go on all your websites,
yes,
and everything, you'll know that the facility does,
yes,
it. Is it in the Arctic or somewhere?
Well, that's only one of them. They're saying there's 24 of them. Russia's very involved in this. This is why this rubbish with Russia now.
So we've got these facilities all around the world.
They're all around the world. And what they're doing is firing specific microwaves 160 miles into the ionosphere. Now, this is a point at which weather's created. This is the point in the ionosphere where weather is decided based on what's coming off the sun. So they're actually manipulating that particular part of our atmosphere.
You're saying then that governments around the world have got weather control machines?
The control of this technology is with the House of Windsor and the Dutch.
Hang on a second. I mean, forgive me. But I mean, it wants some taking in. Let me just take stack on this. For the benefit of people listening this morning, you're listening to City Talk Live 5.9. We're talking about the future. Would there be a one world government one day? What you're saying here is that there is a facility that's been available that can manipulate the weather around the world, that can make it do all kind of things, and that particular facility is controlled by our royal family and a royal family in the Netherlands.
Yeah, but they're still part of a bigger team than that. They're the chiefs in this game. That's exactly what I'm saying. There's an interview on my site, actually, on the headline page at the top. And I think I've put on, you must listen to this, please. This is a female American operative, and she was very involved in the intelligence services. That is definitely well worth a listen.
Right.
It blew my mind. In fact,
Where's this?
It's on the headline page, the latest news page on my website.
Oh, you're lifeinthemix.co.uk, yeah?
That's the one,
okay.
Yeah. It's terrifying. That's the interview that made me take HAARP very seriously.
Okay. If you can manipulate the weather, then why would you want to do that? If that was the case, I mean, some people would turn around and say, well, is that why we've got such dreadful weather in the United Kingdom at the moment?
It is indeed, and what they're doing is making sure we can't grow our own crops, so that we're dependent on the crops grown in places like Zimbabwe. So they're growing the crops to feed our supermarkets while the Zimbabweans have no food. Because the global food cartel is controlled by the House of Windsor.
Right.
They control that. So this weather manipulation is to make sure certain countries cannot grow their own food. You see, what they've done in the last 40, 50 years is create a situation whereby America and Britain and Europe, we're all dependent on imports for our essentials. Utility companies are owned by foreign powers. So as these wars and fallout start, you know, getting bigger and bigger, chaos is coming, because this is what they're creating.
This is your justification for one world government, then, is it?
Exactly. But they're going to slaughter 5 billion people. I mean, it sounds a joke. You just look at the Nazis and what happened in the Second World War. Would we believe that would happen today?
You wouldn't think so.
It happened then. And it's the same mindset controlling that that's controlling everything that's going on today, the very same mindset.
But surely, you know, I've heard this before, when people in the pursuit of the one world government say that, you know, that the population's going to be culled. But I've heard this before, but surely people would start noticing, and people, because this information's out there, and a lot of people know about it, people are going to be onto it and say, hang on a sec, these people on the website are right, we need to do something about this.
People don't realise how close we are to total chaos in each country, America and Britain especially.
Right.
People don't realise
how Well, you tell me how far away from that we are then. If you had to, if I asked you to put a time on it.
Let me put it this way. Expect an attack on Iran this September. September is the beginning of the Christian esoteric year. And those that use the black arts, the occult side of Christianity, will begin what they're going to begin now in September. George Bush leaves office. He's going to cause havoc before he goes. He's going to leave the next president hell. When this war kicks off, if it does, between Russia and Iran, definitely Iran anyway, let's say that.
Russia and Iran?
No, sorry, I got that wrong. Against Russia and Iran, I'm saying, but it's going to be Iran first. Once that happens, then the whole state of emergency within Britain, Europe, America, Canada, Australia will change. That's when you'll see these private security companies on your street, as is happening in America now. America is being taken over militarily by foreign troops while all their troops are in the Gulf. Where are all our troops? They're in the Gulf. And we're being taken over in this country by a very sinister organisation called Common Purpose. This is a charity. A charity formed in Brussels, run by the Royal Institute of International Affairs. It's a think tank charity. It's a Marxist charity, it's a fascist charity, and it's got 30,000 graduates in our councils, our police, our judges, our military. The military people in this are breaking the Official Secrets Act. The police are breaking the police charter by giving information relevant to cases to a body outside of the police, i.e. Common Purpose. I've just had a big player sent against me after the Queen's visit in Preston. And part of that, and what I've realised in how and why my complaints against the policemen around me that keep causing trouble have never been dealt with, is because every police officer, every council operative, every judge is Common Purpose.
This is obviously your opinion of this, mate. You can substantiate it.
I can substantiate everything. Not perhaps in a form that you would know, but we're into it now. I'm on to the Chief Constable of Lancashire now about it, because this is ridiculous. There's a guy in the south of London called Brian Gerrish. This guy is fantastic. This guy's out in the light, you wouldn't believe. He's an ex-Navy officer. This guy is not mucking about. Now, this is the man with all the evidence. This is the man with the written information. This is the man with the people inside Common Purpose giving him the information.
Right.
This is very serious.
We're going to have to wrap this one up, mate. Anything you want to say before we finish off? Because I've got to go to my break in a sec, mate.
I'd love to say this to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've found two guys in the south of England that have found the very thing that's going to get us out of this.
What's that?
And I've jumped in with these two guys. And all I'm going to say is, watch this space. We're not announcing just at the moment, but it's coming. And if you back it as a people in this nation, we're going to defeat this. And we're going to defeat it in this nation properly.
Right.
And I'd love to announce it on your show, if I may, in the future.
Okay, that sounds pretty good to me. All right, Life, thanks very much for your contribution this morning. That's Life telling us, that's his opinion, you know what I mean? He believes that that's where the way that the world is going. You heard what he said then. And if you want to voice your opinion, do you believe that the House of Windsor, our royal family, and some Dutch folk as well, are ruling the world? That they have a facility which can control the weather. The weather is being so dreadful in the United Kingdom that it's affecting our crops. Do you believe what this man has just said to you? That's what it's all about. And I want to get your views so that you can tell me your opinions this morning. Bring yourself onto this show. Perhaps maybe what you've just heard has been the biggest load of codswallop you could possibly imagine. Or you might be thinking, hang on a sec, is this guy an enlightened person? Is this guy well ahead of the game? What are your views? We're talking about one world government this morning here on City Talk 105.9. If you've got an opinion, let me know what it is. 0151 708 1059. That's our telephone number.